Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And that's 2-2.
That's 2-2, yes.
Biscuit, gosh dang it. You gotta be kidding me.
The air horn got ya.
It did. But the air horn sounds, I can do. What is happening today?
You were excited. You were talking about the future during the break, and
I was.
You were still off in farsightedness.
The lady and I want to buy a boat, whatever. And I came up with the name. We're going to name our boat That's What C Said, because that's a great name for a pontoon boat. Lonzo said, what are you going to christen it with? And I said, a bottle of cheap beer. And he said, that makes sense. It's a pontoon boat. I'm not even offended. It's accurate. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 8 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday morning, and you know what that means. Time for us to metaphorically take a little road trip right on down the road to Columbia, South Carolina, to meet a lovely young lady who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. Kind enough to donate her time, experience, and expertise to the show every Monday, the lovely Lulu Kessin is on board.
It's Thursday, but you know. But
that's
still.
What I meant. I told you. Lulu, I don't know about you. I am solidly on the struggle bus this morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, but what is it about this week? I had kind of a struggle bus day yesterday, and it's kind of bleeding into this morning a little bit so far.
Same. And I'll tell you, I think for us it's kind of busy. Like, we got confirmed yesterday, and now we're all wearing the credential. Like, we're doing ACC Media Days in a month. We're doing SEC Media Days in a month. We got camps that are just a handful of weeks away in the NFL and over in college football. And on top of that, big hockey and NBA guys, so I got two championship series to follow. We're slammed up busy right now, but I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you a Panthers fan?
I am not a Panthers fan. I'll tell you what I am a fan of. I'm a Florida boy. I grew up on the beaches. I am a fan of the state of Florida dominating hockey for the past decade or so. I do love, even though I'm not specifically a Florida fan, because the people in South Florida might as well be from, you know, the Northeast. I am a fan, however, of telling all my Canadian buddies that the cup belongs in the Sunshine State.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I was watching the overtime goal last night, and I was like, oh, wait, Rob's from Florida. I didn't know if it was going to be a somber morning for you or not, but now I understand.
Not really. On top of that, last year we had Florida win 3, then Edmonton won 3, and then a banger of a game. I'll be happy who wins. I don't really care because I like Connor McDavid a lot. I'll be happy no matter who wins as long as this thing goes 7. That's it. Just give me the best words in sports. Game 7.
Yeah, no, that's true. I guess, do you feel that same way about the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I love both of these teams. I love both of these teams. I got to tell you, I'm on board with the Pacers right now, mainly because Tyrese Halliburton's my favorite player in the game because he's an old school point guard, right? Like, give me a guy who wants 14 assists and 20 points, not a guy who wants 45 and no assists. I love the Pacers game. I love the team aspect of their game. But the Thunder are fun. They're young. They're a core. I think they're on their way to being the next true NBA dynasty. Just give me a game 7 and I'll be happy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, especially, like, selfishly, now that the Celtics are out, I want it to be the most chaotic and, like, game seven series ever, just because I want really great basketball and I do enjoy watching both of these teams. And I also remembered that the new Netflix Starting Five documentary is being filmed right now, and two of the five are Halliburton and SGA. So the fact that they're both in finals and we're going to get like behind the scenes of that, I think that's really cool timing.
Good call. Lulu knows Paul. All right, let's get to it. Lulu Kesson, let's talk a little South Carolina Gamecocks. Obviously, we have been keeping – well, let's start with this, actually. Let's start with Dawn Staley, because she got her trophy a few weeks ago. That was fantastic. You reported, yesterday, I believe, that Dawn Staley is joining the CBS Sports WNBA pregame show. She'll get her first on-air opportunity on Saturday. She just had a name, a road named after her in her home city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is the summer of Dawn Staley, and as an advocate and fan of women's basketball, and I believe Dawn Staley has been an intricate part of putting the game more in the public eye that has led to the explosion we've seen the last couple of years, I'm kind of stoked to see Dawn getting the flowers nationally that she deserves. What has this summer been like for her, for you following her as all of these things have developed? Just kind of tell me what the air around Dawn is right now.
Yeah, and it's funny because last summer was obviously the sort of post-championship run, and it felt like Dawn was quite literally everywhere in the sense, you know, she was at a fashion week, then she went to Paris, then she went to Disney World, then she was at the Olympics. And there were so many instances where Dawn was just kind of like involved in like pop culture. Whereas this summer, it feels that she's very intentional in what she's doing. You know, obviously writing a book was a huge part of it. And a lot of this is coming from promoting her book. But I also think that she's recognizing sort of the aspects in which she can help lift up women's basketball. And I mean, she said it a couple different times, both at her Philly book event and the Columbia one that I was at, like, women's basketball and women's sports are kind of at the best it's ever been right now. And I think as much as she may be tired of sort of like taking questions like the face of the league, I think she recognizes the impact and influence that she has, and that she's going to continue to do things like be an analyst for the WNBA pre-shows, or, you know, accept getting a statue. So like she said, young people can look up to her like literally on the street and think that they can be her. So I do think that it's very, very cool to see her so involved. And again, I'm saying intentional because I do think that as much as she was deserving of doing whatever the heck she wanted after she went 38-0 and won a national championship as a coach, like, it's cool to see her impact be something a little bit more than just like a vacation or a trip, because people are able to kind of recognize like, hey, even though she didn't win this year, it's so clear that she is moving the needle for this, you know, for both the NCAA level and WNBA.
I have never faulted athletes, celebrities, whatever, who kind of say, I want to be out of the limelight. Like, I work, I do this thing. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be the face of the league. I don't want to be the face of this thing. I don't want to have this responsibility, whatever. I've never faulted those athletes, those celebrities. I don't have an issue with it because they are people too and they have their opportunity. But I do appreciate when somebody is willing to say, I want to take this burden on. I want to use the platform that in this case, sports has given me to give that platform back to sports, especially on the women's side. I think my appreciation for Dawn is she may not want all of this, and she said before that she wants, and I'm willing to take Dawn Staley at face value. I think she's a bluntly honest person most of the time, but the fact that she's saying, I want to do these things, not for me, but to continue to use the platform that I have to promote and advance women's sports, I think that's great for everyone involved in that world that maybe don't have the platform and the fame that she has.
Right. And I wrote about this in my feature that I dropped yesterday, but it's so rare. I can't think of another instance, and I'm ready to be proven wrong, where a women's basketball coach has sort of been like followed out of a venue, almost like a movie star. Like, her fans, when she was back home, were so just excited to like be around her and to lock eyes with her. Like, a lot of people didn't even care for a picture or a signature. They just wanted to sort of be in her presence. And I think that speaks to, you know, what she's doing for women's basketball, but just what she's doing for sort of everyone that she's ever kind of crossed paths with. And that's really impressive and really hard to do because, like you said, like, she doesn't want all this attention. Like, and I do truly believe that. I think if Tawn Staley loved the idea of getting a statue, we'd know it. And I think if she loved sort of answering, you know, maybe the same question over again when we kind of get to, like, the more national level, like, games, like in Colonial Life Arena on a Tuesday, she's probably going to get away with just being asked questions about the game. But obviously when we were in Alabama or we were in Florida, like, it was, oh, how can we grow women's basketball, or sort of these very general questions that people were clear that they just thought whatever Dawn said would be incredibly valuable. And reaching that status as a women's basketball coach specifically just seems just the first to do it, in my opinion.
All right, let's get over to football for just a minute. We are just a few months away from the start of the college football season, and Shane Beamer growing verbally exasperated with waiting on the result from probably a judge to determine whether or not Rashille Faison will be able to play for this team, waiting on that eligibility waiver. Do we have any updates on that? Because obviously replacing Rocket Sanders is not going to be an easy task, and if Faison does not get that waiver, it may put Shane in a tough spot, which might be disappointing considering the Gamecocks are, according to ESPN's FPI, a top 17 team in America, and 16 or 12 teams are going to the playoffs, so they're kind of right there on that bubble. Do we have any update on the waiver eligibility of Faison?
So I want to say it was Friday. Yeah, Shane was on the radio and said that there was no update, and he was clearly so annoyed, and he said that, like, every other day somebody has been like, oh, I think you're about to hear something, and he doesn't. And I can imagine that's incredibly frustrating. Granted, we haven't had a chance to confirm between, you know, Friday and today if there's been any updates, but I imagine that we would have heard from them if there were. I think that it's, you know, obviously going to happen in 2025, 2026. Like, I don't think that Shane is going to be the first coach or the last coach, quite frankly, to sit there fighting or worrying about what the NCAA is going to do with a player's eligibility. But I think it puts the running back room in a really vulnerable position. Like, I think Oscar Attaway showed really great, I don't want to say potential because that kind of sounds like an understatement. Like, he showed really great flashes last year. It's just, can he sustain, you know, what he would give when Rocket was hurt, you know, for an entire season? And I think just having more depth at that position was always something that Shane wanted regardless, and didn't want to, you know, put everything onto Oscar once it was clear that he'd have him back. So I do think a lot is lying on this eligibility. And I also think that when you're nearing, you know, July and you don't know, you're either wasting so much time preparing a player that isn't going to be able to play, or your gamble paid off. But I don't really know the approach to do it as a coach. I don't know if you have opinions on sort of how to navigate that, but not having an update when they submitted paperwork in January, I can't see why the NCAA wouldn't give them eligibility, but I'm starting to wonder why it's almost, you know, mid-June and there's been nothing.
You are, and so is Shane Beamer. And I assume so is new offensive coordinator Mike Shula. I know what Shula was, obviously, at the NFL level. We've seen him at the college level before. But in the interactions that you've had, that the media around Columbia have had since Mike Shula showed up, do we have an indication of how much he wants to change, what he wants to change, if he wants to change anything from last year, especially considering how special of a player he may have at quarterback in Lenora Sellers. Have we heard anything from Mike Shula, whether it is about the waiver and how that's kind of impacting his ability to install an offense, or if and what he might change about it? What have we heard from the new offensive coordinator replacing Dow Loggins?
So I think that if he specifically sort of talked about, you know, that situation, that could have been when I was still at basketball. But from what I did hear Shula sort of talk about this offseason, I think it's very clear that, like, he's not coming in and saying, okay, my way or the highway, I'm changing all of these things. Like, both he and Shane were very clear that they just don't find that productive. They don't find, you know, changing systems like this and sort of, you know, changing coaches, changing offensive coordinators, like, that's hard enough. And I think a main reason why Shane just went to Shula and didn't, you know, sort of open a lot of the OC search, or I mean, he did, but sort of like consider anyone really, but Shula, was because of the continuity factor. And I think that they do still recognize that there's a, like, let's just say a drop in talent in terms of running backs. I just, nobody's going to be like Rocket Sanders, and heck, it took him a while to get started. Like, I'm not saying that he walked on water from week one, but I do think that they recognize that things might have to change a little bit. And I think that's a natural sort of progression when you have a quarterback like Lenoris who wants to improve in the passing game, and they have a handful of really talented new tight ends in Jordan Dingle, and then wide receivers and like Brian Rowe and Lex Cyrus. So I think that naturally, regardless of what happens, like, South Carolina is prepared to sort of, I guess, run the ball less. But I mean, I may be totally wrong, but just looking at what they have on the roster next year, you know, no Faison or Faison, I think that Shula is clear that though he's not looking to come in and do a completely different, you know, system and confuse everyone after Dowell left, I think he still is like, okay, some things are going to have to change, and here's what I sort of want to productively improve.
Lulu Kessin for the Greenville News joins us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Last one, Lulu, got about a minute for you here. Obviously, baseball season's come to its conclusion. We have seen a lot of guys transferring out. We have seen a couple of names that have transferred in. Just the general feel of the baseball team now that we've had a couple of weeks to put the tournament elimination and season conclusion in our backseat. We know Maneri's coming back. There's been a bunch of talk about that. The portal has been in overdrive. Where are we with the baseball team?
So the funny thing, sorry, I was trying to yawn when you were talking so it wouldn't cut into my 1 minute, but I think that it's interesting. I'm not saying this to call people out. I'm saying this to prove my point that I think no matter how angry people are about baseball, they're still going to show up in the spring, because the same people on Twitter that are like, you know, our AD stinks, we need a fire, Maneri, like, blah, blah, blah. Every time there's a welcome home tweet, or sorry, that's football. Every time like a player transfers in, they've been the same people are the same ones to be like, welcome home. You're going to love it. Oh my God. Can't wait to have you, like, hyping up South Carolina. And I understand that's what you should do, but that's all to say, I do think that regardless of how bad this season was, South Carolina fans still have enough hope left in them, even if they don't want to admit that they do, to come back and support whatever version of the team they get next season. And I mean, this Amp Phillips kid, like, one, incredible name, two, struck out 9 Clemson batters on the 30th or whenever they played them in the regional. So like, there's clearly still people, like some guy from Louisiana, I want to say I can't remember what school, but he was like, you grew up loving LSU Paul Maneri, like, how could I not want to play for him? So like, even if people are coming here for vintage Paul, like, there's still clearly something about this program that's attractive to the outside.
Lulu Kessin covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News, joins us every Thursday at 8 a.m. You can follow her on X at Lulu Kessin. Lulu, appreciate it. You are the best. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You 2. Lulu Kesson, again, on X, at Lulu Kesson. When we come back, it's Thursday. You know what that means. Time for an hour early Fight Club with the great Alonzo, Rashad Beard, Mario Heron, Denton Day, and then you to wrap up the show on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome into the Fight Club. So many things to get to and where to start. You know, I'm trying to decide, do I want to start here or not? But might as well. It's what everyone's talking about and been talking about for a while. And that is R-Truth's contract not being renewed. Friend of the show, R-Truth.
Buddy?
One of my favorite people that we've ever interviewed.
Easy.
I mean, dude, he started the interview by throwing hearts at us. I mean, who throws love at someone when you first meet them?
R-Truth
does, exactly. And now his contract is not going to be renewed. There were chants during Raw, and somehow, I don't know if they deadened or not, because they would come and go in places. We want truth. We want the truth. We want the truth. I don't think it's going to matter in the end. I think he will come back, and Sheamus addressed this on McAfee's show, that he'll come back because everyone comes back. But when he comes back, he's going to come back with a lesser contract. He's probably going to get a Legends deal and just be here and there, which is kind of what he was anyway. He's kind of here and there when they needed someone. He hasn't really been featured, except for in spots, like with Judgment Day, like last week with Solo's Husky Son. Have you seen that yet?
I have. It's good.
Okay. I mean, that's like the best stuff he's done in forever. I think that's why there was a shock. He just did that Friday, and then he's released. It's like, what? Did they not like that segment? I mean, what happened there? And I think there's more of an outcry about him than there is Carlito, because Carlito wasn't really doing a lot of in-ring stuff.
Well, first off, Carlito's running around stealing people's dates. So, no, I listen, R-Truth is the epitome of even the best rosters need role players, right? Like, even the best players need role players. Even the best players, even the best teams need somebody that can fill that gap when your superstars are down and out. And that was kind of Truth. You could plug him in anywhere with anybody, and he could not just fit in, but he could shine. But you didn't have to put a belt on R-Truth to get him to become a feature. That man showed up on the TV, and everybody immediately went, all right, here we go. Look, there's one of two things happening here. Either A, this is all the work, and they're going to play it into the angle of Cena coming out at some point and going, I told you I was going to ruin wrestling for you. I know how much you love the guy, so I called Rock, and I got him fired. Maybe that's a way to make it feel like there's still some reason that The Rock was involved in the first place. Or B, this was, and again, like, maybe there's another reality out there, but I choose the one where I get to be mad. The other option is this was a corporate decision by TKO, who I'm going to keep it a buck. The last probably 2 months I have felt are progressively downgrading the show and just making it feel more corporatized, which is a problem. I mean, it's a problem enough that in years gone by, we have told entire angles that became some of the hottest in wrestling about a corporate entity wanting to corporatize the project. Right, now it's happening in real life.
So I don't agree with you there. I think, like anything, something gets built to a degree and people want to see it torn down. So I disagree with you there. There's something that I mentioned, I don't know, a month or two ago. And it's when you get all this new talent, this big time talent coming in, there's only so much TV time. And I know they have a lot of shows, but there's only so much TV time. And so some people are going to be gone, people who they're not really using that much, like R-Truth, like Karrion Kross. I know a lot of people want to see Karrion Kross. When's the last time you really saw him wrestle?
I want to address that, though, real quick. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I do mean to interrupt. I want to address that, though. The problem isn't that there's not enough TV time. The problem is, who are you giving the TV time to? It is their decision who's on TV, right? R-Truth's one of the most over wrestlers of my lifetime.
He's also 53. And you've got
not keeping R-Truth around as a wrestler. I'm keeping around as a plug and play into any place, any time to enhance any given moment, and he does it every single time.
As a business owner, if you are paying someone top dollar and that's the role that you're going to put them in, are you going to try to renegotiate and go for lesser money, which there are starting to be stories out there that they tried to give him lesser money and he didn't want it. And it just depends on how reputable you think the sources are.
That's fair. But again, I think the point is, if there's somebody that you go, no, because I think R-Truth's a top 10 moneymaker in WWE? Probably not. But at the same time, and I'll tell you why I think fans are the most upset about it. You know what my tickets to Monday Night Raw cost? $82. So don't sit here and get to a point where, and we haven't even really addressed this yet, where you're killing off WrestleMania in New Orleans to send it back to Las Vegas because you know you're going to get paid a gazillion dollars more there. Don't make all these decisions that are very clearly made as money decisions. Moving the WrestleMania from New Orleans to Las Vegas is 1,000% a money situation. And I know that because I've watched you. I've been in the building for a sold-out Superdome twice. So don't make all these bottom dollar decisions, but then go, but we need to renegotiate and pay R-Truth less.
Would you rather go back to the last days of Vince where they were struggling to get people into the arena? This is the price you pay for something being popular again. Prices are going to go up. I hate it. I don't like it, but that's just how it works. More people want to see the product, you raise the price. That's just how it goes.
I don't disagree. I've said 100 times, like, at the end of the day, they don't care whose butts are in seats.
By the way,
they care butts that are in seats.
You're complaining about how much the seats cost, but you bought them.
Absolutely, I did. And I will also tell you that after that, Joey B and Jack and myself, we sat in that parking garage waiting to leave after it was over, and we were having the discussion. Dude, are we paying $82 to do this again? Because it was a fun show, but like, they don't do anything within the crowd. Like, you're seeing what's on TV and there's nothing additional. Is this worth $82? Or do we pile that $240 together, bring everybody over to the backyard, watch it in the fire pit, and just throw an absolute rager of a party and watch it from the crib? There's a point where that becomes more valuable. But the point is, if you're going to jack the ticket prices up to $80 to $100 and you go, well, people are buying them, that's great. But don't be doing all these things over here that are explicitly money decisions and then turn around and cut America's favorite wrestler because you didn't want to pay him.
Wow.
Stop it.
Rob, considering just staying in the backyard rather than going out to an event.
$82 for a ticket, man.
Yeah. You
put it this way. If
you
paid
a lot more to go to other things, I think this is okay.
I do not disagree, but like $82 to go see the Eagles in concert, that's a value thing to me. $82 to go see wrestling, as much as I love wrestling, that's borderline inappropriate amount of money for me to
spend. We'll see what happens next time they come around. All right, Money in the Bank is Saturday night. There are four matches. Let's get to those really quick. And let's start with Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. They have done something. I can't stand Becky. I still can't stand her. She's stale. But she's brought something out in Lyra. So this isn't about Becky. This is about Lyra. Lyra's starting to show some personality, starting to show some grit, some toughness, something other than a girl who wears black wings. So for that reason, I like this. Lyra retains. I don't think she loses to Becky Lynch.
I have to agree with that. I don't really see any reason. I mean, I love me some Becky Lynch, but I don't see any reason to believe. That being said, it is also Becky Lynch, and there are some spots where you go.
She gets what she wants when she wants it, and now she's leaned into that.
Listen, if you have an arena full of people that are going to start chanting, or if you have a narrative out there, sometimes the right thing is to lean into it. You know what? I'm going to talk myself into it. I will take Becky Lynch.
Okay, there we go. All right. The ladder match for the women is Alexa Bliss versus Rhea Ripley versus Roxanne Perez versus Julia, versus Naomi versus Stephanie Vicour for the women's Money in the Bank. This, by far, has got to be one of the hardest ever to pick because, you know, Julia's big time. She just moved up. Stephanie Vicour is the talk. Alexa Bliss has made her way back, and she just quietly around the corner from everybody talking stuff to each other and just saying a couple things and walking away. I think the popular thing to do would be to go with Stephanie Vicour, so that's what I'm going to go with. Because I don't know. I haven't looked up to see what the Vegas odds are on this, but for the first time you can't go, oh, Rhea Ripley's winning this. Because normally that's what you could do the last couple years. Look at it and go, oh, she's in it, she's winning it. I don't think that's the case this time.
I absolutely agree with you. And I have I don't know what the odds are either, but I'm going to go with a pick I think might be a long shot pick, but I also think it makes the most sense as far as versatility and storyline. Give me Naomi. Cause you're working. What are you doing with that? Not only are you putting in the hands of somebody who has done a really good job with this new character she's debuted, but on top of that, now I've got a storyline that keeps Jade Cargill at the front. It keeps Bianca Belair at the front. And considering the two of them have had run-ins with all of these other players, it opens you up to every person in this entire match to have some connection to where the belt is. Give me Naomi.
All right. The men's match is Solo Sikoa versus LA Knight versus Seth Rollins versus Penta versus Andrade versus El Grande Americano. All right, here's who I want to see win. El Grande Americano.
Yeah, of course. He's a luchador legend.
He is a legend, and you want to see a legend do what a legend does. Unless they surprise, and they've surprised us quite a bit lately. Like with JC Jane winning the championships and some stuff like that, I think the obvious choice is Seth Rollins.
The obvious choice is Seth Rollins. That is the choice I'm going with. Now, I'll tell you, there's somebody I would have picked El Americano Grande in there. I really had hoped Chad Gable was going to qualify because I think the two of them could put on an absolute banger with each other. But you don't have this Seth Rollins.
He just didn't have it that night.
Yeah,
so.
Just didn't have it that night. You don't have this match. And you don't have the story going on around Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins and not make Seth Rollins a danger to every belt on every roster. Seth Rollins wins.
All right. And finally, Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso versus John Cena and Logan Paul. I am going to go with I'm going to go with John Cena and Logan Paul. And I think Logan Paul gets the pin because John Cena does something to make that happen.
No, I'm actually going to take the heels here too. I don't want to. I can't stand Logan Paul. I'd really like for him to go away forever. But at the same time, he's clearly not going to. He is clearly an attraction for whatever dumb reason. And I think if you... The heel turn for Cena already feels like the luster of one of the greatest heel turns of all time was a complete waste of my time. So in order to kind of bring the heat back to that. You've got to have him go over the two white hottest baby faces in the company.
Well, you just, I mean, the stuff does, the flame just goes out real quick for you. It hasn't for me as far as Cena goes. I think he's doing some of the best promo work he's ever
promo
done.
Promo work, yes.
In his entire career. Didn't expect him to be stellar as a wrestler because he's lost it. That's why he's retiring. All right, really quick. There is a big UFC, it's UFC 316, I believe, coming up this Saturday.
How did you say that and not break the glass?
Well, because I'm running out of time and I want to give Rashad more time. But I'm probably not watching it. And here's the reason why. I watched the main event last Saturday night. All right. Got home. It started around 9 o'clock. It was perfect for me. I missed the first little bit, but got home, was able to watch, the entire thing. And it got to the main event for UFC for it's fight night. I know I said main event, but it's fight night. Got to the end for it. And it was Macy Barber versus, what's her name? I'll find her name in a second. But anyway, it was Erin Blanchfield. All right. This was kind of a, they were talking a lot. It was a big deal. It was a main event. They played the entrance montage, and then nothing happened. Nothing happened to the degree. And Cormier was out there, and some other guy. They didn't know what to do. Macy Barber didn't come out. And they were ill-prepared for this. They didn't know what to do. And apparently she had seizures. And so she had to go back to the locker room and had to call the fight off. And she had been having medical problems, and they had no backup plan. And that bothers me because this is UFC season. This is the time when the NBA is over and the NHL is over and you only have baseball. This is usually when they put together some really good cards. And even though Sean O'Malley's fighting Saturday night, I don't know if I can put my money into it after seeing how that was handled last Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to push back. I've got a friend who struggles with seizures. It is
No, I agree, but she's had medical problems. And it's more about how the production handled it, how UFC as a whole, they folded to a degree didn't know what to do.
I'm not going to say it's an unprecedented situation, but it's an unprecedented situation. How do you handle that? Like, really, you do? It's like you could be like, all right, she can't fight, so new main event, everybody.
As someone who's been in radio for 28 years, we have contingencies in case something goes wrong.
Right, but there is a difference
they
between.
They had nothing.
There is a difference between.
I'm not being insensitive to the fact that she has seizures.
I understand that.
This has nothing.
There's a difference between. Rashad didn't show up, and now we got to make a new segment on the fly. And a main event fighter fell out from seizures a minute before. There's
nothing
you can do.
By the way, Rashad, if you're listening, he just used that as an example.
Yeah,
because
obviously.
Rashad is coming up next. But it just it bothers me that how they handled it as a company when that happened.
I mean,
WWE handles it better, owned by the same company.
Right, but WWE, you can say if your main event fighter falls out a minute, you can just throw a main event together on the fly. I can't send two completely unready random highlight people out there and go give me a main
event. Aren't you worried if you watch something like this and then if you're about to put down $70 or however much it costs, that's not in the back of your mind going, okay.
No, not at all. Because when's the last time anything like that's happened? I'll tell you what's worse. Guy getting knocked out 15 seconds into the first round of the main event.
I'd rather see that.
See, I it's the same thing to me.
It happened in the field of battle, not outside of it. So.
There's nothing you can do in that situation, as it is not scripted wrestling with actors. You can't just go, oh, here's two more people. We can put together a reason to have them go out there and carry the show.
I get that. It's not even about that. It's about how they handled it.
How else do you handle it? What else do you do? You have one other option, which is sign off. Hey, buddy, she can't fight. You'll have a great night. See you next time.
You handle it better than frozen faces like, oh, crap, what do we do?
What do you do then? Give me something here.
They have contingencies.
What? Make one up right now. We're fantasy bookers. Give me one right now. How do you say that?
No, you have to end the show. You do in this case because unless you have backup fighters just in case.
Ladies and gentlemen,
they've done that ahead of time for when a pay-per-view falls. They move someone from the undercard up. But at this case,
fights already happened.
It was at the end.
All your fights already happened. It's not like you can go, all right, new main event. Like, you have nothing left.
All right, we're going into Rashad's time.
Ladies and gentlemen, a segment where Lonzo attacks the UFC and I defend them. You've witnessed history. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast next to talk Panther football. I will ask him what the hell's going on at OTAs on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
To Charlotte, North Carolina, we go to welcome in our Thursday 8:40 a.m. guest. He is the host of the Panther Nation podcast and currently, apparently, living in the Stone Age because his neighbor hacked his internet cable. Rashad Beard joining us here on the show. Rashad, you making it, buddy? Like, you okay without the internet?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, modern times, so I've got other alternatives. So we're good to go over here. We're making it happen.
I respect that. Back when the hurricane came through, the wife and I had like 13 days no power. We had to like read books by candlelight. Buddy, I got to tell you, I had a newfound respect for generations gone by. I don't know how I do it without the internet. At least I have my phone working.
Yeah, that's what I'm living off my phone right now. So we're good to go. We're making it happen.
All right, let's talk some Panther football. We mentioned it briefly in passing last week, and that is the tight end room and how important they're going to be. We know, yes, Bryce Young is still a young quarterback, even if experienced in season now, and tight ends are a big part of that. There was an article I saw that went up on the New York Times the other day, Rashad, about Damian Sanders, who apparently Dave Canales kind of personally challenged him a little bit. Joe Person reported he showed back up to camp 10 pounds lighter, a lot more leaner and muscular, and kind of took that challenge a little bit personally. What have we heard about Jatavion Sanders offseason, what he looks like in OTA so far, and where his expected role on this team is this year?
Yeah, I've heard his name a couple of times this go around in OTA, so which is good. You know, we have seen the photos of him looking leaner, looking stronger. And I do think there are higher expectations for Jatavion. I know he was looking great last year until he had his neck injury. I was there at that game when he landed awkwardly on his neck. And when he came back, he just wasn't the same. So I'm hopeful that he has fully recovered from whatever he experienced last year and can get back to his shape prior to his injury, because he was looking good and he's kind of dropped off. And so, and I like the fact that Canales is challenging this guy. I think when we drafted him, you know, we know that Canales can use his tight ends. We've seen him do it in Tampa Bay. We've seen tight ends be successful in Seattle. And so when we drafted Jatavion, even though we got him in the fourth round, it was one of those things like, hey man, this kid can be solid. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how he progresses. Now, what's very, very interesting when you talk about the room in totality is that, you know, Tommy Tremble is now injured. Don't know his status, because every single week things seem to change with him. We don't know if he's going to miss, you know, preseason. He's going to be back by preseason, going to miss training camp, ready at the end of training camp. There's a lot of things going on, you know, with his back surgery and whatnot. So with him being out, you know, it opens up a lot more room for Jatavion to work. Even though we predict him to be TE1 from a reception standpoint, Tommy Tremble's the better blocker. And so, you know, there's still going to be room for Tommy Tremble to get in there. But with Tommy Tremble now injured, it's going to open up more room for Jatavion. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Jatavion takes that challenge, because I'm excited for him. I think he's more than capable.
Last year, it kind of felt like they wanted to have a tight end presence in Dave Canales' offense. It kind of felt like they wanted to have that guy that was there as the emergency button for Bryce Young, and it was just kind of a rotation of injuries and maybe guys underperforming a little bit. It does feel to me like if Jatavion Sanders is back, is healthy, if you can get Tommy Tremble healthy in time to play some football, maybe midway through the season, whatever, it kind of feels like having those guys available may add even a few more wrinkles into the Canales offense that we haven't really seen so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think all these guys are necessary. You got to have as many weapons as possible for Bryce. Even from a protection standpoint, Tommy Tremble is a more than capable blocker. And so we need him out there. We're going to miss him if he's not able to be out there. We signed him. We re-signed him for a two-year deal for a reason. He can block. He's capable. He's getting better. His hands are getting better. So we do want to see what he can do, what he can contribute. Now, I think one of the wild cards is Mitchell Evans. We haven't really talked about him yet, but Mitchell Evans is a guy that I really, really am excited for. And I think from 0 to 10 yards, he is that true safety blanket that for Bryce Young. I think he can really be that guy. He's not going to beat you with speed. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but I think he's going to be, in the future, more than capable blocker. And he's going to be very solid in the receiving game. I think he's a better receiver than Tommy Tremble is right now, but Tommy Tremble is probably a better blocker. So I think we got plenty of pieces in the tight end room. I think it's a very intriguing room because I do think, you know, in the midst of the Tommy Tremble injury, you could see potentially a Jordan Matthews get brought back, or maybe even a Colin Granger, who was the basketball player who was brought in the offseason and then cut, you know, due to an injury. So I think we can see a couple of those guys back, but the tight end room is intriguing.
Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan Upstate Pro Football Focus putting out their annual offseason positional rankings, Rashad Beard. And they have not one, but both of the Carolina Panther guards inside of the top 16. Damian Lewis, 15. Robert Hunt at 16. Obviously, those two guys were a splash when they were brought onto the roster last year. How would you grade what they did in 2024 and your expectations for the interior, pardon me, offensive line for 2025?
Man, that's such a great question. You know, we talked about this on the show last week. Is when is the last time the Carolina Panthers have had a solid offensive line? It's been a long time. I go back to maybe 2015, 2017, around that time. And it's been a long time. And to have these guys is a major asset. Damian Lewis, Robert Hunt. I'm surprised Robert Hunt is a great hire. I believe Robert Hunt is the more talented guard. But both of those guys are great. They've been godsends for this offensive line and for Bryce Young. You know, the year prior, it was a mess. You know, it was pressure right up the middle, right in Bryce Young's face, every single down. So you couldn't get a good look at Bryce. You couldn't say whether Bryce Young is actually talented or not, because by the time he snapped the ball, he had pressure right in his face. So these guys have helped transform this offensive line to a top 10 group, in my opinion. And the expectations are the same, right? I don't expect them to have that much more improvement from where they were, because they were that good. But I do expect them to be the same, if not a slightly better. You know what I mean? So I think I think these guys are great, and I'm happy to see our offensive linemen get some respect in the top 10 or top 16, like you mentioned, from PFF, because we never have guys ranked high in PFF. It's been a long time, man. I'm an analytics guy, and it pains me to look at PFF every week because we got guys that never get graded high. They're always yellow or red. I mean, it's not good, especially on the offensive line. But last year, they were great, and so I'm excited for it. I look forward to them coming back playing well.
Yeah, I'm a numbers nerd, too. I'm also a front office nerd, Rashad Beard. The blueprint dropped on Monday. There was a clip about 2.5 minutes long in the middle of that was detailing the conversation the Panthers were having leading up to the selection of Teteroa McMillan. You had Brant Tillis, the VP of football operation, working the phone with the LA Rams, and he mentioned in that phone call that apparently they had a conversation with Dan Morgan about a potential trade package if Tet McMillan was still on the board when the Panthers got there. It sounded like the Rams called, they offered him a decreased package. The Cats said, look, you're either going to give us what we agreed to or we're going to take the guy. The Rams said, no, they took the guy. All in all, Rashad Beard, A, appreciated that access because it felt like the first time in the last couple of years that it like wasn't full out wholesale propaganda. And B, man, it felt like a room full of football dudes making decisions. And when you look at that, sitting off to the side was Dave Tepper with his mouth shut and not getting involved in the thing. I watched that clip. McAfee was talking about it on his show, and Rappaport was giving flowers to the Cats. I went back, I watched the episode, I watched the clip, Rashad, and I felt more optimistic about your football team after that 3 minutes of YouTube time than I have in the 5 years I've been here broadcasting. Have you got a chance to sit down and watch it, and did you have the same vibes?
Of course I sat down and watched it. I could tell you didn't watch the entire thing because you didn't see my cameo in it because you didn't bring it up. Come on, Rob. Did you not see my cameo in the blueprint?
Did I miss a Rashad Beard cameo in the blueprint?
Yes, you did. You missed my cameo.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, it's in there. It's a good quick second.
I'm gonna be honest, Rashad, I watched it at like 11:30 at night. I was probably making
it's
a drink.
Okay. It's okay. No worries. I'll give you a pass for making drinks.
I'm gonna clip it and play it on the show tomorrow. I'm gonna do.
Did you smile?
It's really quick.
Did you smile in the clip?
I can't. It's really clear. It's like a 2-3 okay. second.
Because if you smiled, it would have overshadowed everything in that, and there's no way it could have been missed.
It's really legitimate 2 seconds. It's me giving Dan Morgan props along with other content creators. So, again, a pleasure for the Panthers to reach out and be a part of that because I do think it was a great episode. And going back to your original point, I do think that this was so great to see Dan Morgan had clear control. And again, it could be the way this thing was edited and clipped, but I don't care. It was great.
Listen to what he just said.
Yeah, listen to what he just said. He said, I don't care.
Yeah, I know, but he said it could have been edited and clipped. I believe it's real, but there's a part of me that's like, okay, it lingered too long on Tepper to show that he wasn't saying anything. That was purposefully done.
I agree. I agree. And I do think, again, you can take the editing process, whatever. I could care less. I think that the parts that we saw, and again, there's probably hours and hours of film of them in that war room talking. And what we got from it and what I got from it is that, you know, Dan Morgan was in clear control, right? Even what he's saying, hey, even if you go back to the later picks of him picking Jimmy Horn Jr., he's like, hey, I like this guy. He's going to bring that guy. We need that Miami. It seemed like he was convicted, and he had full control and command of that room. That's what it seemed like, and that's what we needed. We haven't seen. And the most important piece too is that Dave Canales was sitting back and he wasn't saying a word.
Yep.
Right. That's great. You have your GM that's actually doing his job and being allowed to do what he needs to do. And so that was great. I think it was great. It was well put together. The best blueprint episode they've ever created, partially because I was in it, but it was great. But also, I also want to say shout out to Eric Eager because he's an analytics guy. And what, man, it was so great to see. What's the percentage of this guy being on the board? Oh, 40%. That turned me on. I gotta say, the analytics being involved and those guys using the analytics to make their picks. It was all great. It was like a well-oiled machine. It was great to see. So shout out to the Panthers for making that happen.
All right, last one. Rashad, got about a minute left. Instagram posted a picture of Bryce Young with a beard going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Going to the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm hoping to play off beard. I don't know if that, what the deal is. I'm hoping there's some sort of catch to the beard, but I hope he doesn't shave it until we make the playoffs. I like that. I want to see it.
Kind of looks like a dog. Like, kind of looks like he got that dog in him. Rashad Beard is the host of the Panther Nation podcast and the star of the Blueprint currently on the Carolina Panther YouTube page. You can find him on YouTube as well at Panther Nation PC, the ultimate Panther content creator. Rashad, appreciate you, big dog. Good luck getting your internet fixed and getting back to the modern age, bud.
Yeah, man, I should be back later on this afternoon. I appreciate you guys for accommodating me on this phone. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Rashad Beard, living legend. Appreciate him swinging by again. Find him on the Panther Nation podcast on YouTube. Find Lonzo doing a sports flash and waving aggressively at me to go to break now.
Well, I've been waving aggressive for a couple minutes anyway. Game one of the Stanley Cup Finals went to Edmonton with a 4-3 overtime victory. Leon Draisaitl scored twice, while Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm each added another. Draisaitl opened the scoring just over a minute in, but Florida scored three straight after to take a 3-1 lead before Edmonton tied the game in the third to force overtime. The Atlanta Braves dropped the second in a row and their 10th in their last 13 games with a 2-1 loss to Arizona last night. Chris Sale worked six innings, striking out 10 and giving up just three hits and one run. Atlanta had just three hits in the game and went 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said yesterday he plans on proposing automated balls and strikes for regular season games in 2026. The league office reportedly has enough votes on their rules committee, which includes players, representatives, to pass the proposal. Hour number four coming up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.